because this is a very special day. I'm just not excited for the mothers. I'm also excited for all the daughters that are here also. It's not too often that I get a chance to actually speak on a Sunday morning, so I have been very excited for this opportunity. I'm sorry I have a little bit of a raspy voice, but I really have been praying. I've been really excited about this time. A lot of you who know me, I can get very passionate when I speak, so I'm trying to rein it in a little bit because I can do that. But one of the things that God, it was really exciting when I was hearing Pastor Matt actually speak, because he has no idea what it is that God has laid upon my heart, and really what he shared is what God has put upon my heart. So as I've been preparing, one of the things that God really has put within me is to really talk to the women, but I'm also going to be talking to the men also. So when God really birthed within me, one of the important things that God laid upon my heart was to really talk to the ladies more about our faith. Talking about where are we today? One of the things that I think that we are really truly challenged with today is because there's so much that is going on around us. All the different voices, all the different things that we hear, that we listen to. I want us to really look at the women within God's word. Because what has happened so many times, and a lot of things that I listen to, and a lot of women that I hear that we're listening and we're following women in the world more than we're listening and we're following women within God's word. I know that today that we live in a world that we're blessed. We truly are blessed today, especially because of the country that we live in. We really are. But I know that just because we are blessed because of the country we're lived in, that doesn't mean that we don't struggle. That doesn't mean that we don't have challenges. And it doesn't mean that we don't have battles in our lives. In the past couple years, we have shared here at Real Life that everyone here, if I would sit with you personally, I know without a doubt you have a story to tell. Every one of us. There's not one person here that you don't have a story to share with me. Because we've all have walked through something in our lives that there has been a struggle. That maybe there has even been a scar that has been left upon our lives. And so what has happened, we have forgotten the importance of opening the Word of God. That we have forgotten to open God's Word and look at the stories within them. And so what I want to do is actually open God's Word, and we're going to look at three women. And those three women are really going to help us to understand that, you know what? Because when we look at the story, sometimes I think we look at them and we go, you know what? Those are women that are like fairy tales. Sometimes we even read the stories, I don't know about you, that because we've heard them so often, there's a disconnect. Or we may read them to a point that sometimes that we think that they are special, that they were created back then and that we were created now. And so God put something special in them, but we were created differently today. What I want us to understand is that that's not true, that they were created exactly the same as we were created. And the reason why God has them in his word is that he wants us to learn from them. That they are the women, they are the men of faith that we're to be following. One of the scriptures that I want to read is in Hebrews 13, 7 through 8. It says, remember your leaders. And this is important. Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life. And if you have the Bible, I'd like you to underline this. And imitate their faith. I'm going to read it to you again because this is really important. Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So the same women, the same men of faith that God created, and you read within the Word of God, those same men, those same women are what we are to imitate. Those are the people of faith that we are to be following. Those are the people that we are supposed to be hungering for, looking to. But because of the world that we live in, and because of the society and the technology that surrounds us, we're not. I don't hear that from people. I hear we're following other leaders. Let's be real. I don't hear people talking about the godly leaders found within the Word of God. And I do believe that God has this in His Word for a reason. And the most important, I think, thing that really struck me when I was reading this in Hebrews 13, 7 through 8, was the very beginning, and it says, remember. And the reason why He has that in there is because God is the designer of His creation. So He knows us the best. And He knows that we would forget. So He wanted us to remember. He wanted to remind us to not forget. Because life has a way to make us think that we are the only ones in this life that are going to suffer. Or that we are going through some difficult times. So we can sometimes, even as believers, create our own pity parties. That we can create, you know, our own thoughts that, you know what, and I talk a lot of times sometimes to my own kids, but I'm not the greatest person that really loves the media or the Facebook and stuff. This year was my first time to actually venture out into the world of Facebook. But the reason why I did, because I know even though I'm older, I have to venture out into that world a little bit and start connecting. But the reason why is because when I do get on there, it's like I cannot believe what people actually put on Facebook. I'm going to just be real and honest. I sit back in awe of that. I just can't believe what people actually put out there. And I understand I'm getting older. I really do. But I think my struggle sometimes is the culture that we have now created is how many voices want to be heard. Everybody wants to be heard. And I want us to get back to what God's word says that women of God are to look like. And it's going to come as a challenge because it's a little bit different than what the world is painting today in 2019. And it's hard because it has come within the church. But I want to speak what God's word says, not what the world says. Throughout my life, one of the most important things to me was understanding the word of God and knowing who my God is. There are qualities that are found within the women of God. And some of those qualities I want to talk really quick about. Those qualities were how they serve, their obedience, their grace, their compassion, their faithfulness. The other side that I love about the women of God is they were fearless, they were courageous, and they were also powerful. So we're going to start with probably one of my favorite women in the Bible, and her name was Deborah. Yeah. Deborah is in the Old Testament, and she was, as many of you know, she was a judge, she was a prophetess, and she is known as a woman of faith. And that may be me. But I think the beauty of the story of Deborah, actually there's not a lot of history, there's not a lot of information found about Deborah, but the little stories or the little bit of Deborah, there's a lot of wealth, there's a powerful story found in that little bit of Deborah, and I'm just going to kind of condense it and be able to share the powerful part of Deborah. Everybody looks at Deborah as being the judge. And to understand that in that time, there was a lot going on within the Israelites. There was a lot of fear within the land. They were scattered. There was a battle that was raging around. The Canaanites were winning, and they were coming against the Israelites and their Israelites. And so at that time, actually, the men were not where they were supposed to be with God. They were very fearful. They were afraid of the Canaanites because the Canaanites at that time had a great king. And that king was named Jabin. And in that time, they were able to build, which is phenomenal when you think about it, but they were able to build these chariots that were built out of iron. And they were the only ones that had what they called the iron chariots. And because they had iron chariots, no one could defeat them. And so all of the armies or all of the Israelites were afraid of them. And so at that time, Deborah actually was a woman of God. And so God appointed her. And it's important for us to understand that God was the one who appointed the judges at that time. God appointed Deborah to be the judge. And so she was a judge and a prophetess. She was a woman who sat underneath, the description was, she would sit on a hill and she would sit under a fig tree. And when she sat under that fig tree, the community would come up and she would counsel them or she would give them wisdom. But everybody recognized that God spoke through Deborah. She was the woman that God spoke through. So one day, God spoke through Deborah. And this is in Judges 4, 6 through 7. And I'm going to read what it is that God gave Deborah. And this is important, that God is the one who gave this word to the prophetess to speak to the leader, the military commander of Israel. And his name was Barak. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, commands you, Barak. Call out 10,000 warriors from the tribes of Naphtali and Zebulun at Mount Tabor. And I will call out Sisera, commander of Zabin's army, along with his chariots, iron chariots, and his warriors to the Kishon River. There I will give you victory over him. At that moment, would you not think that Barak would fall on his face before God? I'm going to read that to you again. I don't know about you, but when I read that, there was like, to me, I mean, they have been hiding in fear from them. And God gave this word to the prophetess to give to Barak. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, his people. He was going to give them the iron chariots, the king, the commander, everything. And I'm going to read to you what this military man's response was. But before I do, I want to make something clear. Barak was not living for God at that time. Barak's, as a military commander's, his eyes were not on God. Pastor Matt actually shared that sometimes when our struggles, sometimes when the enemy is coming at us, what happens to us here? Do we get our eyes on what's coming at us and we take our eyes off of God? Do we sometimes get overwhelmed at the circumstances that are hitting us and we take our eyes off of our God? Yes, we do, don't we? That's what was happening to Barak. That's what was happening to the military army. They took their eyes off of their God, and they kept their eyes on the military army. They let fear consume their hearts. They let fear consume their souls. And so when the word of God, when God himself gave them a promise, they didn't hear it. They didn't recognize the voice of God. This is his response to Deborah. If you go with me, I will go. But if you don't go with me, I won't go. What a sad moment. Barak, this brave warrior, had such little faith that he allowed fear to rule his heart because his eye stayed on his enemy instead of on his God. And he placed his fear, or he placed his faith on a woman instead of on his God. And so Deborah had to lead 10,000 men up a mountain to claim victory for the Israelites. I want to make something clear here, and I'm going to speak to you men. This is the only time I'm going to speak to you men. God never called Deborah to lead that army up that mountain. It's very clear, did he? Who did he speak to climb that mountain and to lead them into the battle? It was Barak. But men, when you don't step up and you don't become the leader, the godly man that you are to be, and let me tell you, there are some of you out there that are not the men of God you're supposed to be in your home. You are not leading your family the way you're supposed to be, because God has called you to lead. God has called you to lead your children, to lead your wife. And when you don't, we're going to read what happens. Because it's important. God loves the Israelites. He wasn't going to stop because Barak was fearful, because Barak was disobedient. He wasn't going to stop. You see, he saw that Deborah had faith. He saw that Deborah trusted in his word. And he knew that she would be obedient. So Deborah, filled with faith and the anointing of God, stepped into the battle so God's people would be set free. See, God uses those who are obedient to his voice and who are willing to walk in the power and the promise of his words. You can't change God's words without consequence. You cannot add whatever you want and think it's going to have the same ending. See, the important part, if you get into God's word and you read this story, you will find that Barak's lack of obedience, God took the victory away from him. See, he was going to give that victory to him. He would have gone down in history as the military commander who won the battle. One of the most powerful battles would have been under his command. God took that away from him, and it was given to a woman. It wasn't given to Deborah, though. You guys will have to get in his word and find out what woman it was given to. How's that? Okay? So one of the things that we learn from this is that we've got to know the voice of God, listen when God speaks, and always, always walk in God's anointing. The next woman we're going to talk about is Esther. Now, we all know the story of Esther. Esther's story is one that so many have called a Cinderella story of her time. Can I tell you, Esther's story is not a Cinderella story, okay? A lot of people have even maybe compared it to a beauty pageant. It's not a beauty pageant either, okay? So we're going to talk a little bit about the story of Esther. See, some these stories are pretty interesting at times, aren't they? If you get into his word, it's amazing how incredible these stories come alive when you read them. The story of Esther is one of those, and again, I'm going to go through it pretty quickly, but the story of Esther is one of those that, first of all, Esther was searched out by the king's court. All the beautiful, beautiful girls at that time were hunted down by the king's court because the queen was exiled out of the palace because of something she'd done. And so because of that, she was exiled. So the king needed a queen. And so to do that, they went out and they searched. So because Esther was beautiful, they found her. They pulled her out of her home. They delivered her to the king, and she was placed within a harem. Most of you know what a harem is, okay? It is not a beauty pageant, just to make that very clear. She didn't get a glass slipper, okay? She could no longer go for walks on her own. She lived among strangers. It is read throughout the Bible. She was never able to worship God. She was told to hide her faith. This is an important part. Her body and her life no longer. Her body and her life now belong to the king. She was pampered for the king's pleasure, not for hers. Esther's story that most of us know it was all about the king. So when Esther went into the king's palace, she went as a virgin. And she went to be the king's. Okay? Along with all the other girls. There was fear within Esther. See, when we read the story, sometimes, even as you as women, there's a lot of things that have happened, I'm sure, to many of us within this room. We have faced different challenges in our lives. We have walked through different circumstances, maybe unjustness, things that weren't really fair. Sometimes you may fear or feel that you're alone. Single mothers. All kinds of different emotions that you may have walked through, maybe since you were a child. Things that were that came against you. And maybe there were even times that you felt that God abandoned you. But God never leaves. He never leaves us because he's always with us. Even though Esther was ripped from her home, even though Esther was told that she could not worship her God, even though Esther had to do things that even in her Jewish culture was completely against everything she was raised up to do, deep down inside, she knew who God was. That never left her. She knew her God. There were many challenges she faced, and I can guarantee you she knew what fear was. She knew what fear was. The other side of the book of Esther, I'm sure most of you are aware of, the word God is never mentioned in the entire book. It is the one book in the Bible that God is never mentioned in. Actually, throughout history, there was a time that even it was challenged that it should have even been put within God's word because of that one reason, because God is never mentioned in the book of Esther. But even though God is never mentioned in that book, the beauty of this is you cannot help but see the hand of God divinely working behind every scene. It's just like a director in a movie or a play. He knows what is coming before the next act. God sets up every scene so that at the right moment, and we all know this part, at the right moment when it's the right time, Esther walks in to the perfect setting that God himself, and let me tell you, it was God himself that orchestrated it. It wasn't man. It was not man that orchestrated that moment. It was God that orchestrated that moment. That when Esther walked before the king. She walked before him. And that king was completely unaware that he was about to save all of God's chosen people again. Deborah saved God's chosen people. Esther saved God's chosen people. Because of their faith. Esther 4:14. And who knows whether you have not attained royalty for such a time as this? You see, Esther in that moment, there was fear in her. When you read the story, you're going to hear her fear. Esther in that moment had to dig deep within her. She had to remember everything that was taught to her. She knew that her people in that moment needed a voice. And God chose her. God chose Esther to be that voice. You see, Esther went before the king, but she did not go alone. She went with the power and the presence of her king before that king. And that is why those people, the Jewish people, were free. The third woman we're going to talk about is a mother. Mary, the mother of Jesus. Now, this is one that probably I'm going to cause me to cry. Because to me, this is one of the powerful ones. Mary, mother of Jesus, everyone knows the story of Mary. She is the one daughter that we all read about and we can't help but get caught up in. How incredible of a daughter she must have been. She was so young, and yet to be the one chosen by God. I mean, in the beginning, did I not say, like, sometimes when we read the stories, we think, like, oh, my gosh, they must have been incredibly, like, special. That, I mean, she was only 12 or 13 years old. I mean, God must have made them so different than us. I mean, a 12-year-old, a 13-year-old, you think about that. Like, God would have chosen you to give birth to his son? I mean, they had to be made different. When you read the story, there's a part of us to go, of course they were. But in reality, they were not. They're just like me and you. So here's this incredible 12-year-old chosen by God to carry his son. Wow. What a daughter of faith she was at 12 years old. When I was searching and I was looking and I was doing some really deep search, there's like some of them were even saying she could have been 9 years old, 10 years old. I'm like, that, like, no. That is impossible. She had to be at least 12 or 13. So, this 12 or 13-year-old daughter, this is when I think of, when I came up with the title of this is Daughter Unleashed. You want to talk about a daughter unleashed with faith, without a doubt, this is her. Mary was a woman so filled with the love of God and her faith in God that she took a hold of one of the most incredible journeys at the age of 12 or 13 to become the mother of Jesus, the Savior of the world. It's a story we all know. We know the beginning and we know the end. But this loving, innocent young daughter, she only knew the beginning. She was willing to take a leap of faith, and what a beginning it was. I'm going to read the story we all know. Luke 1, 28 through 35. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." And her response was, "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." And the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." Did you ever wonder what that moment must have been like for Mary's and for her family? I was thinking about it because as I was talking, I was thinking about how that would be like today. How would that be like if my 12-year-old came home today? Your 12-year-old comes home today telling you she's pregnant. And that she's not just pregnant, that an angel came to her. An angel of the Lord came to her and told her that she was going to have a son, and she was told to call him Jesus. Kind of changes the perspective of the story a little bit, doesn't it? Again, These were people just like us. They faced challenges just like us. They faced heartaches just like us. They faced disappointments just like us. Can you imagine the shame that came upon that family, especially the culture that they lived in? Can you imagine the shame that came upon Mary? You see, from that day forward, Mary had to live in shame. We kind of forget that. Mary was a young girl of faith, so much faith that she was willing to carry the shame throughout her life. She was the mother of Jesus, yes. She was that mother all through her life that everybody looked at to say, yeah, there's that mother. There's the mother who said that she didn't sleep with anyone. There's the mother who said that her son is the son of God. There's the mother. Yeah, that's her. But Mary, here's the character part. Mary knew her God. See, Mary knew what no one else knew. Mary knew the truth. Mary knew that the Holy Spirit did put Jesus within her. Mary knew her God. And so Mary carried that shame with honor. Mary carried that shame with pride. Mary didn't care that people laughed at her. Mary didn't care that people mocked at her or made fun of her, because she knew who her God was. That's what set Mary apart from the rest. Her faith in God stood no matter what. She knew that her son was going to be the savior of the world. But Mary did not know the end of the story. See, me and you can read the Bible and we know the end of the story. But this daughter, full of faith, anointed by God, was about to see her son mocked, laughed at, beaten, crucified on a cross, and buried in a tomb. You know what? The angel didn't tell her that. The angel didn't tell her that her son was going to be crucified on a cross. The angel told her that he was going to be the Savior. How could this be? Being called by God to do his work will never be a position of power. It will only be one of complete surrender to God. This is what his word teaches. To do what it is that God wants you to do, women, daughters, men, to be what God wants you to be, it's never about power. It's never about prestige. It will always be about surrender. It will always, and I mean always, be about obedience. It will always be about serving others in God, no matter what. He's first, always first, no matter the cost. No matter how difficult life is, no matter how unfair things may be. Like Deborah, she climbed the mountain to the battlefield because she knew her God is faithful. Esther reached deep down because she knew that God would be faithful. Mary walked the road of shame with honor because she knew that her God would be faithful. Daughters, today, God needs you to believe once again that He will be faithful. No matter what this world is saying, no matter what the situation looks like, no matter how far you have drifted from Him, God is saying, dig deep. Remember who I am. Because Mary's story is not over. The grave did not keep her son. He is alive. She did not endure everything so her son would die. No, he is who he said he is. He is now seated at the right hand of his Father. Today, more than ever, God needs you. Yes, God needs daughters to go unleashed, full with the power and the anointing of God, in faith, ready to fight, knowing God is the same yesterday, today and forever. But you have to believe once again that He is faithful and He is God. Amen. All daughters, stand up with me. Stand up. Thank you. Mother's Day, as we face, and I believe with all my heart, the end days. Are you ready to be a daughter of God? Do you want to be that daughter of God, unleashed to do the work of God, to do what it is that God has called you to do in your workplace, in your home, in your community, in your church? Because God wants to.